I want to speak along a line this morning, in line with the fact that we're actually in Christmas, and our prophetic work, prophetic word for this month is that it shall end in praise. Can I prophesy over three people? It will end in praise. The exam issue will end in praise. The immigration issue will end in praise. The job issue will end in praise. Whatever the issue is, it will end in praise. Because the end is better than the beginning. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So it may start in a way that I didn't like, but it will end in a way that I will love, in the name of Jesus. So this one, let me take for a reading. It's quite a long reading, but it's Christmas season, so let's read the Bible, okay? And somebody has been encouraging us to read the book of Luke, so let's read the book of Luke. Amen. Luke chapter 1. I'll read from verse 39 to 55. Luke chapter 1, 39 to 55. This is Mary visiting Elizabeth. The Bible says, and if you like to title what I'm speaking about this morning, is Wondering and Pondering. Wondering and Pondering. You can tell that I like very interesting titles, right? Wondering and Pondering. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, in some translation, in some Bible, they call this part the Song of Mary. In some Bible, they call it the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generation will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Verse 51. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Verse 52 says, "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." Verse 54, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." And verse 55, the last verse, "As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Pondering and wondering. Pondering and wondering. The story of Christmas, or Christmas, and don't let's get into the technicality, because the people say, "Well, how did Christmas start?" But for us that are listening to me this morning, we identify with it as the birth of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus born in December? Question mark. You know, sometimes people, they break their head over technicalities, and sometimes technicalities does not necessarily make you enjoy the fullness of what you need to enjoy. Some people, like the Pharisees, you remember the Pharisees in the days of Jesus, the Sadducees, they were the technical directors and technical compliant people. They are the people that will say, "Well, it didn't go like this. We didn't sing the hymn like that. We didn't..." You know, and sometimes they miss the moment, they miss the blessing because they get too technical about it. So let's not go into the technicality of Christmas. Maybe Jesus was not even born in December. If you read the story, story. Amen to Jesus. But the thing is that he was born. And the thing about the birth of Jesus is that God became man. The incarnation was our preparation to coronation. It was when God became man that the glory that man lost was now in full sight. All the time that there were sacrifices, when you read Leviticus, you see all those kind of sacrifices. We still were making palliatives and doing things to get close to it. But there was no way man could ever get back there. But it was when there was incarnation. When God became man. When the Word became flesh. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That incarnation was a preparation for our coronation. So every time when you see Christmas, you should be excited. Because it was what brought our coronation. It was what brought us into this beloved. It was what brought us into the redemption. It was the entrance. It was the beginning into the redemption that God has for us. And ladies and gentlemen, if there was anything that is massive on earth today, it is that redemption is available. And all of this started by this story, or this is how the redemption story started, at least from the time of Mary, the physical mother of Jesus, and his cousin. I need to say some few things that I found very interesting in this passage, and then we'll see how the ministry of Mary is a ministry that many of us need to practice today, because Mary will show us this whole idea about wondering and about pondering. First of all, I need you to see in that story that we just read this morning how that when Mary came to Elizabeth, something began to happen to Elizabeth. There is something about association. There is something about collaboration. There is something about hanging around the right people. Sometimes people do not even know that fellowship has something that it gives to you that you don't know that is happening, but it is giving it to you. When the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling together of the brethren, in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, the Bible says when it's coming to the latter days, people will begin to forget the assembling together of the brethren. And the thing is that many people don't to know that there is benefit of fellowship. One of the benefits of fellowship is that there is something that people carry inside of them. And it is when you come in proximity to the right atmosphere that some of those things kick up. There are some things that you and I carry. You have not just positioned yourself in the right atmosphere for it to be fanned to flame. There are things in the spirit locked up inside of you. But when your Mary finds your Elizabeth, there is something that will happen. I'm believing that something is going to happen in this month of December, that every Mary in the house will find their Elizabeth, and every baby that needs to live for joy will live for joy. Every baby that needs to come alive will come alive. Every birth that needs to take place will take place in the name of Jesus. So we see these two cousins meeting each other. And for me, sometimes when I read the Bible accounts of things, I just wonder how there is a lot of intentionality by God, how God does some things. You see an old woman and a young woman, both of them in a birth story. An old woman is pregnant for the first time, and it looks like it was late. A young woman is pregnant for the first time, and it looks like it was too early. But you see, one of the things God is trying to show up is that I can be God on all sides. If they told you it was late, if I show up, I will still be God. If they told you that you are too early, if I show up, I will still be God. So you can be an Elizabeth, you are old, hear me, you are not too late. You can be a Mary and you are young, hear me, it is not too early. The same God that shows up for Elizabeth can show up for Mary. So God is the God of the old and the new. God is the God of the old and the young. God is the God of the past and the present and even the future. God is the God of all time. So there is nowhere that you find yourself that you are outside of the league of God. And that's another thing that needs to begin to make us think a little differently about how we handle matters, irrespective to old and new sometimes. Because sometimes I feel like the more we have newer generation, the more people think everything that happened before is useless. You know that? I mean, many of us that are younger, we feel that we are very cool. And by cool, everything that happened before you showed up is not good. I've met some people, they feel like, hymns, when people sing hymns, you know, it's just boring. Excuse me. But we hear something, we get a message. Some of the other songs that some of us sing that is quite new, and you are just saying one word, and you are wondering, what does that song really mean, sir? You know, sometimes you need to ask yourself that question. Because sometimes we sing songs, we dance to things, and you ask yourself, what am I dancing to? I remember years ago, I was at a wedding, and, you know, some people have never seen my dancing side. I used to dance a lot back in the day, you know. Me and Pastor Toyo, see, when we go to weddings, if I was on that, we get into the wedding, we dance, and people now gather around us and be watching us dance. I think it was one of those days, my wife just came to me and said, did you listen to the lyrics of what you are dancing to? I said, ah. Apparently, I was just dancing to something. And some people say, it's about the beat, it's about the beat. Excuse me. It's not only about the beat, it's also about the lyrics. It's also about what they are saying. What they are saying is also transported to you. You understand what I'm saying? So, the old is not necessarily bad. There are good things in the old. That's why God, when the story of Jesus was going to happen, he didn't just say, well, we're going to neglect everything that you have ever known. We're going to just start from a clean slate. We're going to go and meet a virgin. Did you know that the story of Jesus also included the story of John? It included the story of Elizabeth. The old was not discarded. In fact, the Bible speaking in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52. Matthew 13 and verse 52. He said, an householder who is taught is in the kingdom, he brings out old and new things. He says, then he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who knows how to bring out treasure, things new and old. Let me tell you, the best way to maximize the now is to be able to combine the old and the new. Is able to combine the old and the new. I listen to new preachers. I read new people, young people. I listen to old people too. I read old people too. In fact, I have some friends that, there's a guy that I bought almost all his books. He used to be a pastor of Moody Church. He's dead now. Very old guy when he even died. I think he died at 90 and he's dead many years. But I read all his books. His name is Warren Wiersbe. I love the man. Now, I have younger people I listen to. But you see, if you want balance, you must learn to live with the old and the new. And it also means the old and the New Testament. There are people listening to me. You believe that the New Testament is the only thing that is for you, that the Old Testament is not for you. Sometimes people like me have told you, well, we live in the New Testament, but how do we understand the new when we don't look at the old? The old is what makes the new to make meaning. So many, many times some people will say, well, I just do the New Testament. Will you do the New Testament and you don't go to the Old Testament? You won't even be able to understand some things that are happening in the New Testament, because the New Testament is about... close to one quarter of the New Testament is a quote from the Old Testament. I hope you know that. Most of what Jesus said, when you hear him say things, you just think that, well, because it's Jesus is speaking. No, he's quoting from the Old Testament. In fact, everybody you see in the New Testament lived with the Old Testament. They never had the New Testament. Paul never had the New Testament. Peter never had the New Testament. They read the Old Testament. So the Old Testament must not be bad. You know, all these guys that some of us celebrate now, apostle of grace. Paul is an apostle of grace. Paul, the apostle of grace, read Psalms, read Isaiah, read Zechariah. There are some books some of us have never read before. Malachi, Malachi, all right? There are some of these books that some of us need to read. But there's something in this story of Jesus, or this story of Christmas, that is very interesting, that God did not neglect the old while he was about to do the new. Let me tell you the truth. Yes, he's going to do a new thing,
But many of the time, he's going to spring forth from some of the things that he has done or he's already doing. That is why every now and then that you have opportunity to deal with anything, make sure you don't spoil yesterday, because yesterday may come and spoil tomorrow. There are too many people in the bid to move into their tomorrow. They are messing up their yesterday. They are speaking to everybody that is older. They are messing all the systems that they meet on ground and say, we want to start something new. Let me tell you, if you go like that, you are going to come back and soon find out that after all, it seems that nothing is really new. Because everything that we are even calling new is a moderation of something that is old and presented in a new way. All right? So this Christmas story, as we are reading from here, it's telling us there is some value in old, there is some value in new. But that's not where I'm going this morning. Where I'm really going this morning is the fact that Mary began to sing a song. Mary began to sing a song. And the reason Mary began to sing this song is because Mary was a woman that knew how to wonder. Mary, if you look at the life of Mary through scripture, Mary was a person that experienced God and never got used to it. She just knew how to wonder. I've always thought to myself, how will you live with Jesus as the mother of Jesus and still be able to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I hope many of you know that Mary also had to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Mary also needed Jesus. So everybody that tries to relate to God through Mary, you are not doing what Mary even did too. Mary did not relate to God through herself. She related to God through Jesus, because there is no other name given to men whereby we might be saved except the name of Jesus. No matter who the apostle is, no matter who the angel is, even Mary needed a Savior. And so the route to God is always Jesus. But it's very humbling that Mary saw wonder and Mary did not commonize wonder. Because many of the time, the challenge for many of us is not that we have not experienced wonder. It's not that we have not seen wonder. It's as if after a wonder, wonder becomes normal. There are people listening to me this morning. It is not because you have not seen wonders before. Some of you have seen wonders before. Some of you, you have experienced the wonder of God delivering people from an accident. Some of you have been so close like this. Some of you have seen wonders in labor rooms. Some of you have seen wonders in school, in boardrooms. Some of you have seen wonders. But the problem of many of us is not that wonders have shown up. It is because somehow we don't know how to make that wonder continuously stay. It's as if that wonder becomes normal. Do you understand? For example, do you know it's a wonder to breathe? It's a wonder. It's a wonder. Breathing system, the whole idea of being able to breathe. I don't know if somebody has choked here before. You know, you were trying to drink water, or you were trying to eat, or you were eating, and then it went the wrong way. That's why you will know that when things are normal, it's even a wonder. Because that there is a right passage of food, of fluid, of air, of everything. Everything is working as it should be. It's a wonder, because the human being is a wonder. Is that not what the psalmist said in Psalm 139? He said, because I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Every time I look at into the mirror, I should not see normal, I should see wonder. When I look at myself, I should not see the things that are not well, I should see the things that are well. Because the Bible says, I am wonderfully made. Everything about me is a wonder. That I will cut my hand, and blood will come out, and after a few days, the wound will start closing up, and before I know it, I can't even see any scar. Or even if I see a scar, the wound is no more there. It has healed. It's a wonder. Look at your neighbor. Say, you are a wonder. Say it like you mean it. Say, you are a wonder. So God is a God of wonders. God does wonders. Many people don't celebrate the wonders of God. And that's why the wonders don't keep on repeating themselves. But I want us to learn from Mary this morning to celebrate the wonders of God. I mean, when the Bible started speaking from that Luke chapter 1 verse 46, the Bible says, and Mary said, and I feel like this is not what Mary did one day. This is what Mary kept doing all through her life. Because to show you that that's what Mary was doing all through her life, did you know Mary was there in Acts chapter 2? She was among those people in the upper room. You need to do something with wonder for you to still show up at the upper room. After all that you have seen, you saw your son live through life, then you saw this boy grow up, and they killed this guy. Then he shows up again after they've killed him and say he's going. And then you still are able to maintain and stay with that. Something happened to Mary. She was able to maintain the wonder. And I'm praying for somebody listening to me this morning that God will help you to celebrate and maintain the wonders of God in your life in Jesus' name. So how do I maintain the wonder? How do I appreciate the wonder? There is something that we see later on in Luke that kind of gives us a clue to how Mary ordered herself. Luke chapter 2 verse 19. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible said, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." So I believe the key to the fact that the wonders of God in the life of Mary did not become normal is because she knew how to ponder. She knew how to think about them. She knew how to look back. She knew how to reflect. She knew how to think. So because she knew how to think, she then knew how to thank. Because there is something about pondering that begins to make wonders. Even though they are not new today, when you are looking at them, they look new to you. They have a different meaning. They have a deeper meaning. Sometimes when we come to church like this and we have a Thanksgiving service like this, there are some of us, if we think back, we think 10 years back, we think 5 years back, our dance that day will be different. You see, if you don't think, your dance, your praise will probably be weightless. It will not have value. It will not be weighty. But if you think, your dance will be different. Your song will be different. So this morning, if you want to be like Mary, because you see, this experience of Mary is not supposed to be Mary's experience alone. It's supposed to be all our experience. I know that the angel came to Mary and said, "You are highly favored." But do you know that you are also highly favored? Do you know that you are also in the league of Mary? And so if Mary received wonder, and the reason this wonder did not become normal is because she pondered, you and I need to ponder. We need to think. This morning, we're going to dance shortly, but we need to think and ponder like Mary. Look at what Mary said to show that she was pondering. She now began to say this: "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord." There are many things Mary said there, but let me just stop on this one of that "my soul magnifies the Lord." Here, Mary was showing us a few things, and I want to show you those things before we dance this morning. The first thing is this: Mary personalized our worship. My soul. You know, Mary was with Elizabeth there. Later, Mary talked about Israel. Later, Mary talked about the fact that God showed mercy to his people. But let me tell you, the power of worship is in the specifics of worship. The power in worship is when the person worshiping personalizes the worship. It is okay for worship team to lead us in the dance. It's okay for worship team to sing and lead us in singing. But it will not matter what they are doing as far as you are concerned if you don't personalize it. Worship has to be individual. Worship has to be personal. That was what Jesus was telling the woman at the well in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus was telling that woman, Jesus said, "Look, when it comes to worship, God is looking for a particular kind of worshiper." The Bible says he's looking for a worshiper that is worshiping what? In spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? To be sincere, to be you. To bring yourself, to bring your own alabaster box, to bring your experience, to bring your personality, to bring you to the table of worship. Sometimes some people are worshiping God, some people are celebrating God, but they are not bringing themselves there. It is the worship leader that is there. They are clapping, but they are not there. They are singing, but they are not there. But Mary said, the reason, as I'm pondering, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to say, my soul, not everybody's soul. not the Israel magnifies the Lord. No, no, no. My own soul will magnify the Lord. I personalize my worship. This morning, you have to personalize your worship. They may be singing a song, and God may want you to sing another song. Sing your own song. They may not even be dancing so much. Everybody around you may not be dancing, but you have to personalize it. Let me tell you, if you don't learn to personalize your worship, you are not in a relationship with God. You are in religion. The difference between religion and relationship is that religion is based on rituals. Relationship is personal. Relationship is one-on-one. I know the person I have relationship with. I don't need to know the person I worship in a religion. I don't need to have a relationship with him. But when it comes to that I am worshiping, and true worship, it has to be personal. You have to have a relationship. You have to know that worship has to be specific. It has to be individual. You have to come to the place. Some people may not be dancing that much. Some people may not even be crying. Some people may be smiling and jesting. We cannot worship God on the same level, or we should not worship God on the same level. Why? He has done some things that are specific to you. He has done some things that are particular to you. Sometimes you remember those things. Sometimes there's a flashback. Ah! Look at what God did to me. Or look at what God did for me. Look at how God delivered me. You know, recently I was deleting files on my phone, and I came across this file. I was recording this video after a church service. I think it was a Monday morning, and it was the last place that we were in, not that other building over there, before we came into this place. And at the time, the video, I could still see rain, and it was not raining outside. It was just raining in the building. And I saw all the chairs, you know, scattered all over the place, where, you know, we were doing service that day, the Sunday off, and then suddenly, just like Acts chapter 2, I would say a mighty rushing wind came. Suddenly, it started to rain inside the building. And we thought, first of all, that it was raining so heavily outside. But people looked outside, it was dry. But inside, it was raining like in the middle like this. And it was so distracting. We summarized the service in righteousness. Because, they had to move chairs. And when I saw this, I didn't just say, we are now in another place now, and we are looking for another place now. No, I paused and I said, thank you. Now, you may not know what that means. It's not just rain in the middle of... for me, it's disturbing. And I will never forget that. Now that we have moved away from that, we may not be able to experience the same thing again, but I will still remember that God has done that. And there are people listening to me this afternoon or this morning that God has done some things too. And your worship should reflect that. Your worship to reflect that. So she said, my soul. I'm going to be personal about this, and I'm going to think personally. I'm going to think as I'm speaking to you. I want you to be thinking, reflect back. This is December. This is the last of this kind of Thanksgiving we are doing. You should not give God something regular. No. You see, sometimes if some of us were even God, we'll be angry at the way some of us say thank you to God. We have commonized the wonders. No, I will look at this wonder and I will be so grateful, so appreciative of it. Some people may look at Mary and say, what happened to Mary is one of a kind. Don't you know that some of the things that have happened to you is one of a kind? You have an individual. Something has happened to you too. Why don't you respond to God? You may not use the words of Mary, but use your own words. Use your own posture and let God know that you are not ungrateful. I am really, really grateful. I am thankful. She said, my soul. Mary was saying this. I am going to be intentional. I am going to think about this. I am going to let my soul, I'm going to allow my soul to have expression in this. And my soul will magnify the Lord. And she says, my soul, in that verse 46, it says, the King James says, dot magnify the Lord. And that dot part of it says a lot. Mary was saying this. I will not just praise God as something I just want to get to as a destination. I will start and finish. I will start but never finish. It will be like that guy that sang that song that, Let my worship begin but never end. You see, when it comes to the wonders of God, when you ponder and ponder, what should happen to you is that you should have a start but never finish. Yeah. He never should get to a point where anything that God has done, I've thanked God for that. No. We can keep thanking God for that. We can keep celebrating God for that. I can come back every year. I can come back every now and then and thank God. It's as if we should put thank you on that matter on repeat. We should just keep saying it. Every now and then, even sometimes when things don't work the way you want it to work, what should you do? Thank you, Lord. Because you see, when you know how to say thank you for what God has done, God will do more. And, you know, to wrap this up this morning, Mary said, my soul, making it individual, doth magnify the Lord, making it a repeated thing. He now says the thing that is our soul will do. She said many things, but she said, my soul will magnify the Lord. My soul will magnify. The word magnify by itself, when you use it with God, will look like, how can you use magnify with God? Because magnify means to make big. How can you make big who was not made? How can you make big he who makes people? How can you make him big? No, what Mary was saying is this. I will focus on God so much. I will think on what he has done so much that those things will assume a big deal in my life. I will make a big deal about what God has done. I will make a big deal about it. Yes, some people think it's normal. You know, sometimes some testimony, some of us hear it, it's one of those things. You know, like the brother that said, I just bought a house. Some people say, it's normal. No, make a big deal about it. It's a big deal. There are too many things that we call normal that are not normal. It's a big deal. So what do? You focus on, you camp on it. You can even, some of you can tell yourself in this month of December, I'm going to have 15 days of gratitude. I will camp on different areas. I'll just sit down there. I will just sit down and look at my children and just be grateful. I will just sit down one day and look at my business and find reasons to be grateful. Let me tell you this. If you sit down, just like with a magnifier, if you put magnifier on anything, that thing becomes bigger. That thing is not bigger, it just becomes bigger in your own eye. Why? Because there is a focus on it. So if you focus on an area of what God has done, that area becomes bigger. You will now start seeing what God has done. You will now start seeing that, after all, the business was not all bad. After all, this year has not all been very terrible financially. Do you know some of us, one of the things you can do for yourself, even your finances, is to go and look at your finance sometimes, especially monthly, and see your monthly, how much came in, how much went out. Sometimes when you see it, you thank the Lord. Of course, some of us, when we see it, we are sad. I'm sad from the fact that this came in, where is it, right? I know, there's that part. We can deal with that part in another segment. But there is a part of gratitude of that. You mean you gave me $500 this month? Oh, Lord, I'm grateful. Do you know there was a time you didn't have $5? Do you know there was a time you didn't even have an income? There was a time that the income you have was not the income it is now. So what do? You put your focus on what God is doing now and give him some praise. Are there people that are going to be like Mary this morning that are going to ponder? Because when they ponder, they will remember, they will start seeing that God is a God of wonders and is doing wonders. So they will be moving from wondering about the wonders, and as they ponder about the wonder, they move into another wonder. So it will be from wonder to wonder and pondering to wonder in the name of Jesus. Can you stand to your feet this morning? I want you to ponder. I want you to think. Before you start speaking, just spend a few seconds thinking. Someone get on the keyboard. Spend a few seconds thinking. Just think. Don't see anything yet. Look at your life. Look at 5 years ago. Look at 1 year ago. Where were you last year at this time? Do a zoom. Zoom into that area. Zoom into your finance. Zoom into your marriage. Zoom into anything that just comes up in your mind. And as it comes up, as you are entering into those areas, I want you to offer some gratitude to God. Find something to say. Make it specific. Don't just say, thank you, Lord, for my life. No. Say, thank you, Lord, for this boy that you give me. Mention the boy's name. You gave me this boy about 5 years ago, this time, December, I can remember, December 2017. It was on a Sunday or on a Saturday evening. And suddenly, my wife's water broke. And before you knew it, we were in the hospital. And before you knew it, we had a firstborn child. Lord, I can remember and I am grateful. Thank you. Thank you for coming through for us many years ago. About 13 years now, we are still grateful. Thank you because you did it even 5-6 years ago. Give us another baby, a daughter at that. We are grateful. We are grateful. Now, go ahead and be mentioning those areas and say thank you to him. Don't keep quiet this morning. It's been good. It's been good. Oh, we are excited. We are grateful for your goodness, for your hand upon our lives. To you be glory. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise your name. Father, we give you praise. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. Thank you, Father, for showing us wonders. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And what the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all.
For me, I cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all.
What the Lord has done, what the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all.